Holy Gospel for this night comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 6th chapter. We are continuing through the Sermon on the Mount, which Jesus has preached to those who have followed him up the mountain. Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they're fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Sisters and brothers, grace and peace to you from God who creates us out of dust. Amen. Just over a year ago, I was working at Rockford Coffee in Bozeman, Montana. The schedule, our upcoming schedule was sent out to our email, and I noticed that I was scheduled to close up shop on February 10th. Noticing that February 10th was Ash Wednesday, I asked my coworker Kara to switch shifts with me so that I could attend evening worship, having known she probably wouldn't have interest in going. Kara was perfectly willing to switch with me, for which I was grateful, but she was also curious about my reasoning, not having had much experience with the church herself. "So what is Ash Wednesday?" she asked. I thought for a bit and asked, "So have you ever seen people walking around with black ashes on their foreheads?" "No," she said. Kara grew up in the Mountain West, which you may be aware is not known for having the nation's highest percentage of churchgoers, let alone churchgoers of the high liturgy ilk. "Take two. Have you heard of Lent?" I asked Kara. "No," she said at first, but then reconsidered. "Wait, is that when people give up chocolate?" "Sort of," I said. "Lent is the 40 days before Easter, and Ash Wednesday is the first day of Lent." That's what I told her, but it was not an all-encompassing definition of Ash Wednesday. Quite frankly, I was afraid of sounding like a self-righteous snob if I threw in words like repentance and confession, ironic churchy terms for a day when we're told by Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew to not publicly boast about our religious practices, as though having everyone think we're good and holy people will somehow make us more worthy in the eyes of God. Ash Wednesday is tricky to explain. Our consumer culture has pretty well taken over Christmas and Easter, two great Christian festival holidays. But there's not much shopping hype around Ash Wednesday. No 4 a.m. doorbuster sales to kick off the contemplative season of Lent. No stocking surprises the morning after Mardi Gras. As Nadia Bolz-Weber, a Lutheran pastor and public theologian from Denver, says, "Nope, in the church we get Ash Wednesday all to ourselves. No jolly or hopping mascots today, which makes Ash Wednesday a bit of a mystery, somewhat of a cultural oddity. Tonight we've been told we are dust, and to dust we shall return. We were looked straight in the eyes and reminded of our death, that we came from the earth and will inevitably return to it. We'll leave our worship tonight quite literally stained with ashes, branded by our mortality, dirtied by our limitations. It's certainly no visit from the Easter Bunny. To use Pastor Nadia's words, being told we're sinners who will inevitably die tonight isn't exactly Disney on Ice, but it's not necessarily depressing either. As some think, I myself sometimes think it's depressing. I'll admit I don't generally set up an Ash Wednesday countdown on my Google Calendar. If given the choice between ashes and Easter eggs, between soot and celebration, I'm always going to choose Easter. But before we get there, we take these 40 days, especially this day, to lay bare all that is real about ourselves. Where Easter is celebratory, Ash Wednesday is utterly honest. And of course, honesty can be uncomfortable. Tonight, we admit that we are human. We are broken. We are not who we thought we should be. We are not who we thought we would become. We've sinned by our own fault, our own most grievous fault. We have perpetuated cycles of violence in our communities and in our world. We have thought less of ourselves than we ought. We have been prejudiced against our neighbors. We have pretended we're more important than we are. We have misused our power and privilege. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not interpreted our neighbors' actions in the best possible light. We have been silent in the face of bullying and injustice. In our judgments of others, we've expected them to be superhuman, somehow without the faults we know we ourselves possess. We live in vulnerable flesh that will one day die. We are dust, and to dust we shall return. On Ash Wednesday, we're marked with ashes that symbolize mortality and repentance, a turning back to God. These ashes tell us that we are human, merely human, and yet through the cross, we are given life with God, both now and into eternity. I'll admit this whole long-winded explanation flows off the tongue a lot more easily when I'm wearing a robe standing behind a pulpit. It might not have worked so well while wearing jeans standing behind an espresso bar. And yet, the espresso bar and other everyday spots are precisely where this word rings most true. We are dust. In coffee shops, we are dust. At Hy-Vee, at the office, in the school cafeteria, at home, in the car, we are dust. In our loneliness and longing, in jeans and skirts and designer shoes and tattered jackets, we are dust, and to dust we shall return. Most days we go about pretending to be more or less than dust. We put on masks of independence or strength, trying to cover up our failures and our vulnerabilities. We hide behind our fears of being found out, of being discovered as frauds. We mask our mortality with makeup and anti-aging serums. Except tonight, when the ashes tell us who we really are, human, mortal. Being mortal is both death and life, conviction and gift, law and promise. We are human, beloved by God, known and loved by the God who created the first human from dust. In Hebrew, Adam or Adam means man, but also is a play on the Hebrew word for earth or dust. And the words we've heard tonight come straight from the story of Adam and his partner Eve. Following their first transgression in the garden story of Genesis 3, the Lord says this to Adam, and I ask you to say it with me. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. God is saying, you are human. You are dependent on me for life and dependent on the earth for food. It's both a limit and a promise. To be human is to be dust, created by God from the earth, destined to return to the earth, and always in the care of God, in birth and death, and all the time in between, however long that may be. Lent is our liturgical season of returning to God, as the prophet Joel says, of coming home to the God who created us, our God who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The God who made us from dust, who sees our transgressions and sinfulness, and who recreates us through Christ, whose cross is etched on our foreheads in our baptism in death, and tonight in ashes. We leave here branded as human, marked in ashes with the cross of Christ. It's no wonder there's been a recent uptick in Ash Wednesday interest. So-called ashes to go stations have popped up in urban areas around the country. Many congregations, including Spirit of Joy, if you haven't noticed, have seen a dramatic increase in worship attendance on Ash Wednesday. It's freeing to be dust. May tonight's word be freeing for you. You are dust means you can give up your striving to be anything but dust. In the eyes of God, your true identity will not come through your tireless striving for grandeur, your attempts to be a standout in work or family life. May this word free you from shame about your imperfect body, mind, or spirit. May this word remind you that you do and will fall short, which is merely proof that you are dust. And in your freedom from striving to be more or less than dust, may you discover abundant life. In your returning to God this Lent, may you discover freedom from sin and death, freedom to love and serve your neighbor. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. Receive this word of freedom tonight, throughout Lent, and always. Amen.